Lecture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Toole at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. And, oh, we're sharing all the awesome. I always forget. That's the most important thing. Sharing all the awesome. Nurture and support. Sharing all the awesome. Kelly spells Twitter name. And then he goes, hi, Mel.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mel at Karmic9. And we are back sharing all the awesome for yet another week on Nurture and Support.
How hard is that? you make it look so easy.
But, yeah, because I'm just so fabulous.
There you go. Fabulous. Anyway, we'll go ahead and get rolling today. I am going to recommend an app. This is an app that will run on the good platform and the bad platform, or Android and iOS. So it's available on both platforms, and it's called Just Unfollow. You know, it's like just unfollow. It's a Twitter management app, and I have used Friend or Follow and Unfollow Me and all these different ones that are just kind of tools so that you can kind of continue to, who am I following, who's following me back, and those types of things. And Twitter itself is a very poor mechanism to manage followers. So several different people have created different capabilities to manage it. And I have kind of fallen in love with this one. It's just because it's a very handy and effective tool. And so I'll just kind of step you through the functionality in it. So you download the app either off the iTunes Store or the Google Play. Just unfollow, and you have a series of options. So you connect your Twitter account, obviously. The other very cool thing about this is you can connect your Instagram account as well. And I had really not seen a whole lot out there. I have, and I still haven't dug into it far enough to know how many people are following me on Instagram versus how many people I'm following and following back. But you can do this for both Twitter and Instagram. So that's kind of another really nice perk. For whatever reason, I'm less worked up about the whole follower-follower relationship in Instagram than Twitter, so I don't really pay a whole lot of attention. So I just use the Twitter side of the app, but it has both, and so you can play around with it.
Okay.
But what you can do with it, of course, is one of the main functions is those pesky non-followers, those people you are following that have not followed you back. And so you can kind of go through, and it categorizes your folks. So you can click on non-followers, and you will get very quickly a list of here's everybody who you are following that's not following you back. And you can make whatever decision you want to make on that. You can also, at any point in this process, add people either to a whitelist or a blacklist. So you enter their Twitter account in there. And so if you're following a celebrity that you say, I know they're never going to follow me back, but I don't really want them cluttering up this screen, you can add them to the whitelist, and they're just not shown. Likewise, on the blacklist, you put a Twitter account on the blacklist, it'll never be recommended to you through this app. So it's kind of a nice thing.
Okay.
So you've got your non-followers, and then you've got your fans, which is kind of the reverse. These are people who are following you, but you have not chosen to follow back. And you get your comments there. It's kind of an interesting list to go through. And then you get into the meat of it, recent unfollowers and recent followers. And it will update you, give the app will send a notification to your phone periodically throughout the day when there's been activity. So it's not kind of move by move, but it's a couple times a day it checks, and if there's been enough activity, it kicks you out a note. Then it gets into some other interesting features. There's an inactive following. So these are people you are following but have not tweeted in a fairly long time. So if you're looking to tend to your list, say, do I still need to be following this person? There is a copy followers, which is an interesting one, where I could go in and type in Mel's Twitter handle, and it would list everybody she's following. Not that I did that, Mel. I know.
That's an invasion of privacy.
I know. It's out there. I can do it. I can do it right now.
Damn that public information.
But I wouldn't do it because they say, you know, what they say is, maybe there's somebody who's kind of like you, and so you ought to probably bring their list up, and you can then see when you've got kind of common and places where they have followers that might be candidates to look at. I'm not a big fan of all these tools. A lot of them, they build in, hey, you want to grow your Twitter followers and create these different kind of mechanisms to kind of reach out. And so this is probably one of them that is, it's still all you. You go and look. But it's not bad sometimes to occasionally go and say, well, so who's following this person? And you can kind of skim through. But I very seldom, outside of getting ready for this show, I very seldom go into this function to try it out. But it's there for you if that's something you want. Mm-hmm. It also has nearby, so that anybody that's been doing some location, allowing some location stuff to be going off on their tweets, it'll give you a series of Twitter, a pretty lengthy series of Twitter folks who are in your area. And then, not a particularly useful feature, a friend check. I can, I wonder if Mel's following me. I can enter her Twitter handle, and it will tell me, am I following her? Is she following me? Are we both following each other? That I can actually do fairly easily in Twitter. So I don't, that's right. not a big feature there. There's the whitelist and the blacklist that I talked to you about. And then finally, there's an automate. And the feature's there. I want to make sure everybody's aware of it. I would also strongly encourage you not to use it, because the automate feature is the one that will send an automatic direct message to a new follower. So if you follow somebody, so we've all probably received a few of those. Hey, thanks for following me. Be sure to go check out my site, blah, blah, blah.
Buy my book.
Yes.
That's what I get all the time. Hey, thanks for following. Here's a link to my book.
Yeah. And there's a – now, have they done something to disable links in DMs?
I think maybe they're back. They were gone for a long time, but I actually don't do a lot of DMing, so I haven't checked to see if we're able to do links now that we can do. I think we can, because now they rolled out that whole group direct messaging program on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I think that was supposed to re-enable links and everything. So I think links and pictures are back in direct messages.
Cool. Yeah. That would be nice. I mean, obviously it can be abused, but it's nice sometimes, because I struggled when they implemented that. Every once in a while, we might be talking to somebody about, hey, do you want to come on to Nurture and Support? And I wanted to, in a DM, ask them that and then give them a link to the site so they could go take a look at it. And I was like, I was having difficulty for a while because they had shut that down. So,
yeah, that it just wouldn't go through. It wouldn't accept it. It never told you why.
Right, which was not good. But just as a general Twitter maintenance tool, Just Unfollow, it's a free app. It's free on both platforms. Works great. I've got it on the iPad, and I've got it on my Android phone. And it's just a really handy thing. It's just a handy tool to go in. Again, Twitter and Instagram, which is kind of nice. I haven't seen those two together effectively in too many tools. And you can kind of just do a little bit of double checking. And if at some point you're saying, I need to kind of weed out my Twitter list a little bit, it's a handy tool to use to do that. So my recommendation for this week is Just Unfollow.
I just really started using, I can't even say I've really started using Instagram. I've started checking Instagram a little bit more lately. But I don't have any followers, y'all, so y'all can go follow me at Karmic9 on Instagram, too, because that's my name everywhere. I will promise to hit you with all sorts of knitting projects.
After. Oh, no. Let me get to that blacklist thing here.
I know, but see, I know a lot of knitters who I'm involved with on Ravelry who are posting to Instagram, which is why I started looking at it again after having had an Instagram for a very long time and never really using it. But I had downloaded this app a long time ago, and it goes along with my waning interest in my followers at some point or another. But the whitelist function is, I think maybe it's changed. I think before it only let you whitelist a certain number of people, and then I think maybe it wanted you to pay.
And that's really true still today with the app. It's a free app, but you are limited in transactions. But it's around like 50 so a day. So you'd have to be really kind of working this as a tool to do something more than so for just the casual Twitter user that's kind of going in and doing a little bit, maybe following three or four people, going through and unfollowing some folks and all that. I have yet to, because I'm a pretty heavy-duty Twitter user, the tool Twitter, but I'll just bring this up about, I'll get a notification and say, these people have unfollowed you, and I kind of look at that and maybe take action if necessary, and because you don't want to follow me, I don't want to follow you. sometimes.
It hurts. Most of the time, I don't care, but I've had a couple people unfollow me. I had someone unfollow me recently who I liked, and I'm like, I want to go, why did you unfollow me? What did I do? And then I figured that was just really pathetic, so I would just shut up and go pout in the corner by myself.
Yeah, and it does hurt when it's, there's a lot of folks who are like, okay, this was a fringe account, whatever. But when it's somebody you maybe have, and I've had that happen it's not super recently, but a little while back, where it was someone who had been following me, and I've been following them for a long time. So it was, they knew what they were getting, and I knew what I was getting. And then all of a sudden one day it was like, bink. And I was like, oh. And then you can't, and you're right, you can't ask. You can't kind of do
it. You want to send them a message. What happened? Are we not friends anymore? I thought we were getting along so well.
You can't DM them because they've unfollowed you. So
right.
You're reduced to having to publicly share your humiliation.
Yes.
Why did you unfollow me?
So sad. I'm like, that was a mistake, right? Right?
Yeah. Hey, looks like.
Accidentally clicked the unfollow button.
I think your account's been hacked. It unfollowed me.
That's what I should do. Go. I think you've been hacked. You unfollowed me.
That's my recommendation. It's a fun one. It's easy to use. And with the Twitter and Instagram features, it's kind of a nice little guy.
Yeah. And I have not been using the actual functionality of the app for a while, but they do send me, I do get my email from them every day telling me who has followed and unfollowed me. So it's sometimes nice. It also is one of those enlightening tools where you'll get to see the people that are on Twitter just for a purely publicity standpoint who are following you. And man, if you don't follow them back in 24 hours, they drop you like a hot potato. And I'm sorry, I'm not up on my follower count quite that rapidly. Sometimes it might take me a day or two to remember, oh, I should see if I have any new followers.
So. And I forgot to mention in that automate section outside of the DM, which I strongly encourage you not to use, to say thanks for following me. There's also other ones I discourage you from using, which are where they can take those emails that you get or notifications and automatically throw them out as a tweet. Hey, I've lost 5 followers today, or hey, I gained 6 followers today.
Yeah.
That's your personal preference on what you like to do. I don't feel that. For me, I'm not real interested in publicizing either way.
Let me share my public humiliation here. If I just opened the app on my phone, and it updated, and I can't tell you how long it's been since it's updated, but the tweet that it would really like me to send out at the top of the app is, I just found all 1,197 Twitter users who don't follow me back. Like, seriously? I want to put that out. I follow, I don't know. I need to obviously go through my Twitter because I follow a lot of old TV show accounts that got canceled because all of my TV shows get canceled. Things like that. So thank you, Kelly, to remind me I need to do some maintenance on my following accounts.
And you've got it already, so you're all set. It'll yes. help you out. And it's real easy to add and drop people from the app.
It is. Yeah, it's a very easy to use app, and I tried several of them myself, and I think that's the only one left on my phone, so that was the one that I used the most when I was experimenting with all that. So, excellent. So, my recommendation this week, I have spared y'all all of my books for a while. Has anybody noticed? I haven't given a book recommendation in a while, but don't worry, I've got one this week. And it's a novella. It is actually only 64 pages long, so it is a super quick read. There are no pictures, but there are haikus, so that's a plus. This book is called The Plagiarist by Hugh Howey. If you don't recognize the name Hugh Howey, you may have heard of his book series. It's called the Silo Trilogy, but in Wool was a book series that he put out many years ago, which they've actually turned into a comic book, and I believe they're still working on turning it into a movie. So he is the author who's best known for that. He's actually done a whole lot of stuff since then that's been really good. This is a novella that came out in 2011. The main character's name is Adam Griffey, and he is a literature professor at a small university. And in the time frame that he lives in, we have most universities. What's happened to the world is we've developed this technology to have these big server farms that basically create simulated universes within them with multitudes of planets, They can tweak them to guide a particular form of evolution on each little planet. And all of this is for the sake of researching evolution, how certain organisms would evolve, to study weather patterns, plate tectonics, all sorts of science issues in these simulated worlds. So essentially, they set up a universe and actually watch how a planet forms in this simulated universe, and then that planet ages, evolves life forms up into civilizations, and they can go in and study all sorts of things or observe. So, like a video game, you can plug into this machine and have your consciousness transferred into an avatar in this little world, wherever you've chosen to go look at. So, Adam is a very sad, sad, lonely man. He really doesn't have any friends. Like I said, he's a literature professor, and his life has recently kind of gone downhill. His only main human contact anymore is an online girlfriend. And then it turns out he has another girlfriend, but she's not really real. She is a person in the simulated world that he visits. And to him, she is more real than the real people that he knows. So he's kind of spiraling out of control. Now you might ask then, what does the plagiarist title have to do with anything? Well, basically, his job, other than being a professor, is he goes into these simulated worlds. And these are complete civilizations that have evolved. So the one that he visits where the girlfriend is very much like the world that he lives in. He goes and he reads their books, their literature, and this is his one great talent. He was not very good at ever writing anything good himself, but he can recognize real talent in other works. So he also has a very good memory, and I believe it says he could memorize up to 15 pages at a time. So he goes into these worlds, finds a good book that was written in a simulation, in a computer, on a server, in a server farm, in the simulated world, and he memorizes it piece by piece, gets back to the real world, transcribes it, goes back in, reads some more. And this is basically how he makes a living. This is what mainly pays all of his bills. He releases these books as he's the discoverer of the literature. It's not true plagiarism in that he's not taking credit for the words, but this is the world that they live in. This is a known thing that you do. It makes big money, and there's lots and lots of people that try to do it, and he's like one of the best. So this is kind of the premise of the entire book, and that's what he does and why it's called The Plagiarist. But it's really about relationships between what's real and what's not real, and what does it really mean to be alive, because he feels that this girlfriend that he has, who is a simulated person on a simulated world, in a simulated universe, on a server farm, is more real than any of the people that are around him, and most definitely is more real to him than his online girlfriend, who is pressuring him to actually meet in real life. So it's an interesting read to me, and there is a little twist that's thrown in there. And honestly, what happens to hard drives occasionally? Hard drives can go bad, people. Servers can crash. What's going to happen to all those little people? Are they real? What really defines being alive? So that's basically what this very short novella is about. It's about Adam Griffey, his real girlfriend Amanda, his simulated girlfriend Bellatrix, and some haikus thrown in along the way. It's a very interesting read, very quick. It's only 99 cents on Amazon, in the Kindle store. It is available in paperback, but like I said, it's only 64 pages, and I think the paperback was $6 or $7. 99 cents for the ebook is perfectly reasonable to me, I think. Even if you don't have an e-reader, you can read it online in the Kindle app online. So it's definitely, I think, worth the read. And I first found out about it because actually the audiobook of this was an Audible daily deal a week or two ago. And it's funny, but that daily deal was $1.99, and the ebook is only 99 cents. So I was a little put out when I found that out. But this is another one of those situations where I would really recommend the ebook over the audiobook. I tried to listen to the audiobook, and I didn't really like the narrator. So I've mentioned before I'm a little picky about narrators. So I didn't enjoy the audiobook, so I switched over to the actual regular book, which I should have done from the beginning because it only took me, like, I don't know, 30 minutes to read, as opposed to, I think the audiobook was like 2 hours or something. So anyway, get the ebook. I definitely recommend it. It's a good, interesting little story that asks the question, what really makes us alive? So see if you can find the answer in one of Adam's haikus.
Yeah, so you said a lot of magic words to me there. Cheap, 99 cents, short, that's another. And when the number of pages is less than the price, gold. You know, that's, there you go, that's a home run for me right there. So yeah, that's a, I'm amazed. I mean, it's a fascinating premise. And
I really enjoyed it.
And it seems like a lot to get out in just 64 pages. Because it
covered a lot. I mean, and that's one of the things I enjoyed about it. There really wasn't any wasted space in this story. There's not a lot of setup. Kind of jumps right in and keeps going, but it flows really naturally. It was really good. Really, really well put together, I felt, for a novella. It's sometimes hard to tell a complete emotional type story in that short of a space. So I really enjoyed it, but I am a fan of Hugh Howey's work. So I really loved Wool. I might talk about that someday. When I was telling somebody about this, when I launched into some big talk about Wool, and they were like, well, why aren't you talking about that? Oh, I probably should. But I'll do more research again before I talk to y'all about that, because I really enjoyed that series. So, but The Plagiarist is well worth your time. And if you happen to be a, I believe it's called Unlimited, Kindle Unlimited subscriber on Amazon, where you pay so much a month and you can read whatever you want. It's one of the ones that's in that program, so it wouldn't cost you anything if you're a member of Kindle Unlimited.
So in these Amazon We're Better Than You clubs that you go to, the I assume the Amazon Prime members there at the nicest tables. Kindle Unlimited, are they pretty close to the nicest tables as well?
Well, that in the ebook world on Amazon, Kindle Unlimited is going to be more of your primo. There are a lot of books in the Unlimited program which are free for Unlimited. Now, that's a qualified free. That's like talking about Netflix, movies that are on Netflix being free. Kindle Unlimited, they're paying, I believe it's $9.99 a month. And then there's this big library of books that you don't have to pay for.
Very cool.
I haven't signed up on that. A lot of the, how to put it, a lot of the lesser quality books are also in this program, because the authors, there's a lot of self-published books in there, which Hugh Howey is a very famous self-published author. He's very proud of it, very big on it. His books are very good. Not all of them are, but they can opt into putting their books in that program. So you've got a mixture of whether they're self-published books or whether they're books from some of the big publishers that are in the program. So there's a bunch of books, but I've heard stories of some of my friends that are in this program having trouble finding good quality books to read. Now, this is a good quality book to read if you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber and you want a quick read to read. The Plagiarist by Hugh Howey will fill that bill for you. And if y'all are Unlimited members, drop me a line and let me know what you think about it, because I have questions signing up on that. So I'm interested to get other people's opinions on it, how it's working for them.
Very cool. Yeah, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around which is more fake, the online girlfriend or the virtual girlfriend. That's an interesting distinction. I hadn't really thought of that before. And you say they don't waste any time at all. So there's no characters kneeling in the middle of the road, pouting, refusing to take water, walking. Okay, good. Excellent. That sounds like a good read then.
It was good, and it's very mind-bendy, making you question, you know, you get to the point, well, how do you even start to know that you're real? Because these people in these simulations, they have no idea that they're not real. There's a conversation that goes on in the book about what he does, taking these simulated people's works of literature and telling them he's doing it, and he's trying to explain, well, one, they're not allowed to tell these people that they're not real. That's part of the rules of going in. But would they believe it? Would you believe somebody walking up to you on the street and telling you, you're just a simulation, you're not real, everything around you isn't real, it's like the Matrix, y'all? How do you know? So it's a little mind-bendy, for such a short read, it did it in a very, very good fashion. So check it out.
Excellent. Good. I will absolutely be doing that. All righty. So we will go ahead and move. I'm excited to go into the social media recommendations for this week because I've got a treasure for everybody this time. And this is a YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel I'm going to recommend is Slow Mo Labs. SLOWLABS. Well, and then Mo in the middle. M-O. Slow Mo Labs. I'm sorry. It's not as easy as spelling Kelly Tool. So it's Twitter, it's a YouTube account, and I'm thinking they're in the Russian mafia, I'm not 100% sure, but it's this Russian guy and his friend who have, I'm sure through perfectly legal means, obtained a high-speed camera to shoot things in slow motion. And he you almost think, I'm convinced he is actually Russian, but it's as if someone's almost doing a caricature of a Russian, because he wears these very strange outfits. It'll be like a tuxedo top and a tie and white pants, and they're just kind of like in the middle of this park, and they're like, hey, these oranges went bad, so I decided it'd be good to blow them up. And that sounds more like Dracula, but anyway, you get the idea. And so he blows a lot of stuff up, and you get to watch it in slow motion. They are worth the price of admission just in terms of the introductions and the outtakes and all sorts of different things to do there. They're just a pleasure and a hoot to watch. And it's just you get cool slow motion stuff being destroyed. And so he said, well, I needed to replace his keyboard. So, boy, my Russian's horrible. I need to replace the keyboard. He puts it down there and he takes a sledgehammer and he hits it. And you have to watch that. And he's like, well, that was really terrible. That sucked. That was terrible. And he gets out like this big scythe, a kind of lawn scythe. It was like the big knife on the end of a stick. And he slices through it a little bit more. And so they're just a bunch of fun little videos. It looks like they stay pretty busy. I saw oranges and the keyboard chopped up and powdered creamer set on fire, all sorts of different fun things. A rubber band ball blown up, and first try the charge wasn't deep far enough, so it just kind of poofed out the top, so then he got one down deeper. And that was actually really cool to watch, because you basically saw the rubber band. He was wondering, would it all unravel, or would it just go big and go small again? And it kind of did something in the middle, but it did retain a lot of its structural integrity. It was really cool to watch. So, Slow Mo Labs on YouTube, I would highly recommend you subscribe.
Well, cool. Have you tweeted that before? It sounds familiar.
I had to have. I had to have, but I just came back across as was thinking through here recently about what was I going to recommend for social media. I'd gone into YouTube and then come across due to some similar videos I've watched. So I think I've tweeted out something similar. But I just stumbled on these, and I was like, this is amazing. I much watch more of this.
Well, you can't beat blowing up rubber bands.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. Destruction. Chaos.
Done by just the happiest Russian. I'm sure he's not mafia, but maybe. I don't know.
Never know. Well, my social media recommendation is not that explosive. Ha ha ha. Mine is a Twitter recommendation, and it is book related. I like this account because, for one, if you go to their website and you sign up for their email list, they will send out an email occasionally that will give you a list of particularly, like the last one was science fiction, fantasy, and horror novels that were all available at that very moment on Kindle for under $5. And it's a good synopsis of a lot of books you may have missed going on sale. Unless you really keep up on that, you can miss some books that you really wanted to read, but you were waiting for them to get a little bit cheaper, because a lot of the ebook prices at $13 are a little much for some of them. So I'm always looking for some of the ones that remind you of what's on sale. And I've tried a few of them, and I find the ones that they find from My Bookish Ways is pretty good, pretty much in my interest range. So I like them. Their last one in particular, I had found several of them myself, but they had quite a few on there that I didn't have, and so I had to go click that button to add to my to-be-read list. But it is at My Bookish Ways on Twitter. And their website is mybookishways.com. And they're actually local to me. So I like that too. Supporting local people.
Excellent. So probably want to mention a couple other things. If you've been listening to the podcast, we really appreciate it. Please continue to do it. Never opposed if you'd like to write a review, give us a like, do whatever you can to promote it to help us kind of thwart some of those pesky knitting podcasts out there. That would be awesome. Share it with your friends, all that good stuff. But more than anything, we just really do appreciate listening if you are. Mel and I are up to other chicanery as well. If you haven't had a chance to, if you're watching Better Call Saul and you haven't had a chance to watch A Saul and Battery, which comes on 15 minutes after the episode ends, Mel and I get together and we kind of recap the episode, pick out our favorite quotes. We're starting now to have some guests come on with us every once in a while. So we're continuing to play with that. That's been pretty fun. Getting an okay number of views on the video, so that's pretty cool. But we want to continue to try and get more and more people interacting with us when we do it live. That's part of the reason we're doing it live, is to get a chance to kind of interact with folks and hear what their favorite quotes were and see things. And recently on one of our shows, there was a term that I wasn't familiar with that our listening community was able to square me away on. That's all I've got to say about that.
Tuco took great offense to that word, so it won't be hard for any of you to figure out. It was a word one of the twins called his grandmother. He did not like it at all. It's a great show. We would love it if y'all would join us and, throw out your favorite quotes for the episode while we're on. We post links every week. You can either watch it in G+ or watch it on YouTube, and hit us up on Twitter with the TalkSaul hashtag. So join us.
Yep, and we do show pages on the Nurture and Support blog too, so you can kind of, there's a one-stop shop. You can find all the different ways you can connect with the show. So love to have you watch us live. If that doesn't work out for you schedule-wise, try and catch it later. We're having fun doing it, so wanted to make sure we mentioned that. You'll also see Mel and I traipsing around on Bring Out Your Geek from time to time, talking a lot of comics with jeans recently. We did Snowpiercer a little while back with Mel and Papa Ken. So it's good stuff. So make sure you're checking a couple of those other sites out as well. But most importantly, we need to make sure how you can stay connected to Nurture and Support. And for that information, we are going to put you in the very capable hands of Mr. Matt Shivers, who will give you all the particulars. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting alternatives.